We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to KMOX. I am excited about the next half hour
you
we're going
both,
to spend
buddy.
With you. We
you
have Joe LaRue, a good friend of mine. He's a former NFL referee. He's also a lawyer here in town. He's a golfing buddy of mine, and he's one of the nicest human beings you'll ever meet and kind enough to come in studio today. Joe, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you for having me. I'm surprised you would do it 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Oh, are you kidding? This is the greatest interview ever.
So you were an NFL referee for what, 2 decades?
Yes, that's right, 20 years.
And you have ref the Super Bowl.
I did, Super Bowl 47.
And if I'm correct, that was what, San Francisco and Baltimore? That's the lights out Super Bowl, right?
And the Harbaugh game. Both coaches
were
horrible.
Right.
And for what, 45 minutes, the game was stopped because
about
you guys lost power?
37 minutes, yeah. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you'd never experienced anything like that before, right?
No, and you know, when you're standing down in the darkness in the New Orleans Super Bowl Dome, I mean, you're on the floor, you're like, boy, this is really weird. And initially, they thought this might be, you know,
terrorism,
you know.
Yeah.
And then they figured out it was some, you know, mechanical thing and told us it'll take us this long to get it fixed, and that's what happened.
You spent 20-plus years in the NFL. I see you have a Super Bowl ring. How many Super Bowls did you ref, and how do you get picked to be a Super Bowl referee?
Well, I worked one, and I'm very happy and proud to have had that one. And it's based on your grading or performance. I mean, they grade every play of every game during the year and rank you, and, you know, theoretically, if you finish number one, you work the Super Bowl.
And that grading, so who does the grading? The officials themselves? Is it the NFL? Or who actually performs
it's
that?
It's the league. We have supervisors in the officiating department. And every week, you know, one of them is assigned to look at every play in the game and every official on every play. And then, you know, with comments, you know, good and bad, and also to grade every flag or every play where they think there should have been a flag and one was not thrown, and that's how they do it.
You have, I think, as difficult a job. You were a lines judge, right?
I was a deep official, deep line, yeah.
Yeah, and so you're covering inbounds, out of bounds, but you're also covering a lot of downfield pass interference calls, which are, in so many games, determinative of who wins and who loses. The pressure of that has got to be immense.
Well, to put it in perspective, you know, there is no yardage to that. It's the spot of the foul, so it could be a 50-yard penalty. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a game changer.
And going into that, you see, how often are you the only official that sees something and nobody else sees it? And how did you – are you on an island at that
Fortunately,
point?
Fortunately, that's very rare.
Yeah.
Normally, you know, we all overlap each other in terms of coverage and what we're looking at. When the ball goes in the air, then everybody goes to the players where the ball is, okay, as opposed to, you know, I have responsibilities on certain people at the line of scrimmage when the play starts, you know, but once the quarterback throws a ball, everybody should be looking over in that area, assuming you're downfield.
So we all have the benefit on Sundays of slow motion, about 30 different angles. Now that you're a fan like us, you're watching the games on a Sunday, and we all consternate over blown calls or what people perceive to be blown calls. Now, as a retired NFL referee, when you watch the game, do you feel like you guys are getting it right most of the time?
I know we are. I know we are. I mean, how many times do they change it? I mean, you know, there's so much more replay review now, and then how often do they come back and say that, you know, they reversed a call? But, I mean, but again, that's one thing that's good about replay is that they have the ability to catch obvious mistakes and correct it right there. And as you're pointing out, John, I mean, on a pass, you know, I might have half a second to recognize it. I got to know where the ball is. I got to know where the player is, the contact, and what
where the defender's head is.
In some plays, I got to know whether the quarterback was in the pocket when he threw the ball. I mean, there's all kinds of things you got to take into consideration.
Is there ever the thought of, I think I saw something, I'll call it and replay can fix it? Or if you didn't If you I have no certainty.
I have no respect for you if you officiate that way. You do not officiate the replay. You were paid, you're hired to make the call on the field, and if replay changes it or comes in, well, that's what their job is, okay? But do I think that there are officials that do it? Yeah, I do, and I think that's a mistake.
That is. I want to take you to one particular incident that happened late in the season. It was consequential, the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys late in the game. And the Lions are going for two to win the game. It was a one-point game, and rather than kick the extra point, they were going for two. And they had a tackle-eligible play that came in. The referee apparently misunderstood which player was eligible on the play and apparently blew the call. How did you know the call I'm talking about?
Yeah, and the referee did not blow the call, and I don't think he mistakenly did. You know, the Detroit coach set that up to trick the defense, you know, in terms of who was going to be eligible, right, wearing an ineligible number, okay? So he sent two or three players to the referee, which that never happens unless you're reporting. I mean, that was a design situation, and he admitted after the game was over later on that's what they were doing, trying to fool the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, that same player that the referee reported had been reporting to him the whole ball game, not the other guy, okay? I mean, there's some issue as to whether he got it right from the guy, but the bottom line is you'll see the players going to the referee, reporting to him, and he announced the guy that talked to him, okay? And again, their goal was to fool the Cowboys into thinking that one guy's, but that is not part of the rules.
Well,
that is not the intent of the rules.
Because in fact, the referee announces publicly that number 68 is eligible.
Not only does he announce
defense,
it, he points at him.
And tells
and
the
then
defense.
Every official on the field will point at him too to acknowledge that this is the guy. And you have to tell the defense that's the guy that's reporting as ineligible. Well, I can tell you right now, whatever team it was, they knew what they are. Detroit knew what they were doing. If in fact he had gotten the wrong information, they could have corrected it.
Right.
They didn't want to correct it. My first reaction when I saw the play is, how did that guy get so open? Nobody was covering him.
Right.
You know why? Because they didn't know he was declared as ineligible.
Yeah.
I mean, that was my first reaction to it. Something's wrong here.
That's great. I mean, that is a great description of what happened. And that, I mean, thinking back on that play, that's exactly how it happened.
Well think about Dan Quinn, whatever, the defensive coordinator, he's one of the best coaches in the league. You think he wouldn't have covered a guy? I mean, there's no way he wouldn't have had the guy covered if he knew he was reporting as ineligible.
So, obviously, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl when we come back in the next segment, but give us a little flavor of what an NFL referee's life is like. If you're reffing a game at noon on Sunday, when does your week start and when does it end?
Well, I mean, there's something going on throughout the week. As if you check with my law partners, they'll be happy to let you know that I was practicing football law. But the bottom line is, you know, as soon as the game's over, you're going to be on the plane watching the video of the game and having a cocktail. But my point is, you do that, and then you know you've got to file an online report by Monday. You did a paper report after the game. You have an online report by Monday. By Monday night, Tuesday, you're going to have grades back, and you have to file responses to them. Okay, you've got a rules test that goes out every week that you got to work on and have it ready before you get to the game. So you got the grading process 3 days, and then Thursday and Friday, it's kind of like you look at training tapes. Scouting tapes of the teams, receivers, players, whatever. You're normally on a Sunday game, you're flying out Saturday morning, and unfortunately with St. Louis, that means I got to connect everywhere. So I'm out at 4 o'clock in the morning, and, I get to the site, and we have a 3-hour, pregame meeting in the afternoon, and then normally I try to get to the room, but I used to watch college football, but those games are so long now, I can't stay. And they got so much replay, it's ridiculous. I got to be at the stadium next morning 3 hours before the game. You got pregame responsibilities, and then you work the game, and then it all starts all over
again. And not to mention, I mean, you're out there with world-class athletes. You've got to keep yourself in some good shape. I mean, you guys were on average, what, 40 to 65 years old or so?
I mean, that's the range, 40 to 65. I actually almost hit 70 when I left, and I think they decided that it was one thing for me to be 2 decades behind these world-class athletes, but not 4.
Joe LaRue is our guest, a former NFL official, and what a joy it is to have him. He's going to stick around after this short break. We'll be right back. It's Hancock and Kelly on KMOX.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? collect them all, and current All-Stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.